It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleib, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you and your calls, 617-779-7937. Real quick before we get to what we're going to talk about, I'm truly bummed that Norway lost in the World Cup because it had the one guy who truly has really become a fan favorite, and that would be Norwegian Gronk Erling Haaland. There's a picture that just came out of him. And
the raccoon?
he just returned to Norway, and he's walking out of the plane, and he has a bag in one hand, and the other hand is the one thing that he bought from his time in Dallas, and that is a stuffed raccoon drinking a bottle of liquor.
A whiskey raccoon from Wild Bill's, from Wild Bill's Western store in Dallas.
Oh, this is God. What Europeans think of America.
I mean, he's got that's a gorgeous, like sums it up. Louis Vuitton bag or something, like a really just gorgeous, you know, kind of carry-on with this $750 whiskey raccoon from Wild Bill's in the
awesome.
Other arm.
It's awesome. He is everything. I mean, it was funny. I was watching when I was watching that match. They had something that they flashed up there that before the World Cup, he had 20 million followers. And after the World Cup, like during that game, he had 60 million. He's become an international superstar, this guy.
But he tapped out early. Weren't you disappointed with him in that match?
They took him out. They subbed him out, which I don't know enough about soccer to understand why during those final minutes when they needed him the most, he was sitting on the bench. And maybe somebody who knows what they're talking about, I tried to look it up. I have no idea. But all I know is that up to that match, he's been unbelievable. And then, there were a bunch of clips of like him like not getting assists that were wide open.
Oh,
like,
wide open on that 2-on-1.
Yes,
that guy.
Exactly. So I don't think it's all his fault, but I just know that I don't know who to root for now with these final four because Messi's won a bunch. You know, it's almost boring to root for him. Never root for France, and I'm not going to root for England out of respect to the Scots because they were so awesome when they were here. So all that's left is Spain, and I don't know anybody on Spain, and I know nothing about it. By default, it almost seems like that's who you got to root for.
Rich, I told Ken before the show, it's just I find it interesting that the four teams that are in the finals – all right. Was it Spain, France, England,
and Argentina?
And Argentina. They before the tournament started, those were the top four ranked teams in the world soccer. Mm-hmm. And the four best teams going into the tournament are the four best teams still standing in the tournament.
Yep. And what's also wild is that I mean the matches have been pretty great. As a matter of fact, the other day we were watching. The Switzerland, I forget what it was, one that had a shootout at the end of it. And when you're watching the shootouts, as I said, anybody who's into soccer is going to be like, yeah, Rich, idiot. I don't watch a ton of soccer. And I definitely don't watch World Cup elimination soccer more than, I mean, like every 4 years I get into it again. And I forget how great these shootouts are.
Oh, they're the best.
But the one thing that fascinates me is that most of the time it's just a crapshoot. It's a 50-50 chance. Like the goalie's going to dive one way or he's going to dive the other way, and unless you shank it, you got a 50% chance of getting it in. And this survey just came out that they think that 28% of Americans think they could beat a World Cup goalkeeper.
No way, man. Dude, the nerves. I mean, how Germany was in that situation in their knockout round and nobody wanted to kick those kicks because of the pressure. Yeah. The pressure is so intense. I almost feel like the odds are favored you, you know, the person kicking the ball, like almost like 80 or 90%, but because of the nerves it becomes a 50-50 ball.
Oh yeah, no question. And the other thing too is that in some of these countries, you know, we've seen how like it means, I don't want to say life or death, but I mean there's been people who have shanked shots before who have, you know, violence has met them when they returned home. So I mean, I don't think in any of these four countries that would happen, but you know what, it's been great. I'll say this about the World Cup being in Boston, it was 10 times better than I thought it was going to be. It really was. The city was just so much fun. There were all those watching parties that were outside. People were allowed to drink on the streets in certain areas. The Scottish were amazing. You know, even the Iraqis were amazing. Mm-hmm. The Morocco fans. England were fine. They were kind of disappointing. The Norwegians were great.
Were good.
Yep. So
one hit wonder, but still great.
Yeah. And it was funny. Just all the information, the news coming out, every article I read was really a negative one going into it, I thought. I mean, you had the issue with Foxborough. In the crowd, you know, they weren't gonna, you know, provide security until they got paid. I mean, it was a lot of negative stuff. And then even the first match was kind of a disaster. And then every match after seemed to be like just, you know, it was great. And nothing, there were no issues. So, and I'm looking at the, I'm looking at a video now. They've already torn up the grass at Foxborough at Gillette. Just, oh, they're already replacing it with the artificial stuff. Which
why don't
is,
they leave it?
It looks so good. Didn't that grass look so good?
Awesome. It popped. What did you, what do you like to play on, Ted?
Oh,
like,
grass, bro. Oh, the best.
I think so.
Play
why,
on
why won't they? Yeah. Is it too expensive? Is that why they're not keeping it?
Yeah, it is. It's all it is because they want to have concerts and it's just, it just the grass gets ruined when you have concerts out there. So if all you did was play football in that stadium, you would be it would be grass. But they do so many other things that it's just easier to maintain the artificial turf because of all the concerts and all the other stuff that they do in that stadium.
But they have concerts at these soccer arenas, right? Like, I matter of fact, I thought I read something somewhere is that some of those arenas are stadiums are so state of the art that don't they have like a system that lowers the grass under the ground and there's almost like a greenhouse under and then they can cover it up? Where was it that I saw that had that? Mm. And I'm like, that is the new way. I mean, that would be the new way awesome. For American stadiums. It's probably super expensive to do it, but you know, when your team's worth $10 billion.
But there you go. It's a money thing. Trust me. Whatever the reason they put the artificial stuff in there is because they're saving money. That's why they do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just, as I said, it's been a lot of fun. Bummed that it's gone from the city, but you know, we got a couple more matches left to watch. All right, so a Bleacher Report put together on the heels of the Jaylen Brown situation, the worst trades of the 21st century since the year 2000. And there is a decent amount of New England on here. Like one so much
how
that
deep
I just
is, how deep does this go? 10, 20?
It goes 20. So I will go through the New England ones because there's some obvious ones that are, you know, all around the country. But number 16. Mookie Betts to the Dodgers.
Yeah. That's only 16?
Number six. Well, this is for everybody. This is for every sport,
okay,
like all around the country since the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the rest of them, you'll be like, okay.
But how that's right. That's not the worst Boston trade this millennium? I mean, I don't know what else could best that.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right.
Wait and find out.
Number 14, Wes Welker to the Patriots. This is obviously one that worked out for the Patriots.
Okay. So Miami not all these West are bad for New England. I got you.
No. Some of them are good. Some of them are good for New England. And then you move down the list. Number 12, another one that's good for New England, Randy Moss to the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oakland sending Randy Moss to New England. And what was that, for a fourth-round pick,
fourth
I think?
Yeah, fourth round.
I still think that was my favorite Brady era, was when it was Welker, Moss, and Brady, despite, obviously, the last game of the
despite
season.
Despite never winning.
Yeah, that was quite possibly the best offense I personally have ever seen, like at a game, like going to seeing it myself. It was just an absolute machine.
23 touchdowns to Randy Moss, 50 touchdowns for the offense that year.
Oh,
crazy!
Truly one of the best. Then we go to, oh, by the way, they have Russell Wilson to the Broncos at number 9, and I can't get enough of that. That truly is one of the worst trades of all time.
Let's ride.
Yes. Then, okay, number 7 is Miguel Cabrera to the Tigers. And then at number 6, they've got Jaylen Brown to the 76ers.
That is not worse. So I guess it depends how you, what is the title of the headline? Because that's not worse for Boston than the Mookie trade.
It is the worst trades. Of the two of like of the century since
worst
the year 2000.
Worst trades of the century.
Yep, they say the 76ers eliminated the Boston Celtics in the first round. Less than 2 months later, the Celtics traded Brown to the Sixers for a surprisingly meager return, and then they, of course, compare everything and just say, "How the hell could that have happened?" Now, number 5 is a trade that benefited the Celtics, and I would say that this, in my lifetime, might be the greatest foresight, the greatest genius. And that would be Markel Fultz for Jason Tatum.
Yeah, you forget about that. Danny Ainge, brilliant.
I just remember when that happened, thinking to myself, there was not a player that I had heard more was a surefire generational player than Markel Fultz.
Right.
And it's tough to remember that because he ended up being such a bust. But, Ted, do you remember before that draft, he was going to be the next big thing, right?
Did the Celtics have the number 1 overall pick?
They did.
They
traded back.
And they traded back.
Danny Ainge traded to number 3.
Dude, that is – I bet you will never see that again.
Clankers.
That'll never happen again where guys in the first spot and trades back in a NBA draft?
I do remember producing here at the time, doing weekend shows, and I remember discussing who they should take with the first round pick, and it wasn't like a slam dunk. Tatum's name was out there, but definitely Fultz was getting all the buzz.
What am I missing? Why wouldn't Danny, I don't remember exactly the details, why wouldn't he just take Tatum number one overall? Like, why would you risk?
Because you would, they gave up a bunch.
They gave
like,
up.
What was the, in exchange for Tatum and a future first round pick, Philadelphia wound up with a player who's broken jumper. Oh, yeah, yeah. So they got a future first round pick.
Okay. All right.
Out of the Sixers. So, you know, that, once again, absolute genius. And I guess the way they got around that was that there were a lot of, like there was a lot of rules about scouts being able to go see it. But it was something crazy, like Danny Ainge's son had access to him because he wasn't part of the organization or something like that. He had inside info on Markelle Fultz, who obviously ended up being a complete and total bust.
Total.
The number four, worst trade of the century, Deshaun Watson to the Browns. How that's not number one.
Oh, it's so true.
I have no idea. Number three, and this one's pretty great, and this one also benefited New England, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to the Nets, which set them up. It set them up for Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. It set them up for Jason Tatum and ultimately set them up for a championship. And as much as that crushed Celtics fans, I don't think there was anybody who were crying against it because they knew their time was up.
Thanks to the Russian dude who owned the Nets who was desperate for a title at the time, right?
Prokhorov.
Right.
Was,
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
was
yeah.
an idiot. And now doesn't own the team anymore.
Yep.
Number two, Paul George for SGA and picks. Paul George is, you know, making his name known in this list on being on the bad side of things. And any guess as to what they believe the worst trade of the 21st
Luka?
Century is?
Luka. Gotta Luka be,
to
yeah.
The That's gotta Luka. Be the worst one. All right, 617-779-7937. We will take your calls next. Also, this Red Sox team, are they going to buy or sell? What a weird position we find ourselves in. All of a sudden, we have this was a no-brainer 3 weeks ago. Yeah, get rid of everything. Get rid of everybody. Breslow, get rid of them. And now we're sitting here, and this team has been absolutely on fire. They deserve your attention. But do they deserve to have better players on this team via them buying at the trade deadline? We will take your calls and discuss that. 2 minutes, we'll be back. All right. Ken Rosenthal has the nerdiest followers on social media.
He's getting nasty in the Rosenthal chat.
Is this Ken on weed? No. He's way too excited for Bud. Oh, Ken Rosenthal, who we really like. But, man, that is one of the nerdiest things I've ever heard. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. You can call 617-779-7937 and go to the Odyssey app. You can also leave us a message, a take grenade. We play them at 5 o'clock. Just press that microphone and leave your voicemail, and we will play it later on. This is a unprecedented – really, I can't believe we're where we're at with this Red Sox team, because 3 weeks ago it seemed like the wheels had completely fallen off. They were historically bad.
They were 14 games under. They were pacing as like one of the worst Red Sox teams in the history of the franchise.
Yep. And as I was saying, this is like the scene in the movie where the girl with glasses takes them off and all of a sudden she's hot. Because like out of nowhere, they are absolutely killing it. There was a 9-0 road trip, which I guess has never happened since 1977.
Right.
And they end up winning, you know, they have three sweeps, Angels, White Sox, Mets, and they're playing good baseball. And like individually, a lot of the players are achieving. Like they're excelling. And it's definitely now a better team than it was with Alex Cora. And they seem to be, and I've been giving Chad Tracy a decent amount of credit even before the streak, in that as bad as they were, they weren't turning against each other. Like they you didn't hear like a lot of drama, because as Ted, you know, I'm sure that you know, and you've seen many teams do this before, when things are going poorly, everyone just all of a sudden finds a way to unravel, and there's a lot of fighting from within.
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're usually, you'd see signs, you'd see something, you know, guys, it's hard to kind of keep all of that a secret. You know, guys let stuff slip out. So, yeah, if it was kind of crumbling behind the scenes, there would be evidence of it, and it never, you're right. No, I mean, you've
a little bit with Jaren Duran, a little bit. With fans, Duran and fans, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, right. But not with the main thing is
teammates.
Yeah, as long as you guys are all got each other's back, which it felt like they have this whole time.
Unless they turned on Roman Anthony and they went to Tracy and said, get this guy out of here, man.
Listen, I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist, but it is weird that him and Mayer are like nowhere to be found. And the way that they sent him down and the way that Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam have talked about why he was sent down, it seemed punitive. It seemed like either it was punitive, like they're getting frustrated that his rehab isn't getting any better and that there seems to be no kind of forward progress, or it's just that this is a team that is trying to build something and keep a positive attitude despite everything going wrong that first part of the season. And I think that they, when you have a guy like Roman Anthony around who just isn't getting any better, they're like, okay, you need to just be removed from the equation. You're bringing down all the good vibes that we have. It's depressing. Go down to Florida. Deal with it yourself. Instead of what Breslow said, which is the dumbest answer I've ever heard anyone say, that there's just not enough room in the training room for our star player.
Well, plus, which they're on the road. Like, Bradford was on with Jones and Keith today, and he said, you know, Roman didn't go on the road anyway. But if that's the case, you know, that, first off, they're playing well on the road when he's not there, you know. But so why would you send him down to Fort Myers on the road trip when you're not at Fenway? Or do they mean the road?
Because
training room is small.
On the town doing stuff. Guess. Maybe he shouldn't have. I'm trying to, real quick, Rich. The one thing I'm thinking, like, where the player was kind of critical at all was, maybe didn't Isaiah Kiner Falefas say something about when they're at
home? Too many people around.
And that was the one thing a player said that I thought was maybe a little bit critical, Rich, but nothing really directed at another player. But you're right. There hasn't been backbiting or infighting or anything like that I kind of would think.
Even Brian Bayo went down and like took his medicine and came back and helped.
Sure did. How about that?
He was like useful again. Somewhat.
Yeah, and I believe that a lot of this, you know, you've got to point at Chad Tracy, and you have to say that he's able to keep these guys' heads, you know, in a right place. I mean, I know that, you know, with coaches and managers, that's one of your main jobs, is keeping things from spiraling out of control. I've talked about Mike Tomlin before. You know, I used to hate Mike Tomlin. I was never a fan. But then after some of these players of his would go to different teams and be complete and total problems, you realize that one of his best assets was being able to keep these guys under control and let them work together and succeed. And I like that Chad Tracy – but not that I like, but I think Chad Tracy should start getting credit for what he's been able to do on a team that could have easily checked out when they were at their worst.
Kid, I'm curious what you, Alex Cora, if he was still managing this team, the way he would he wouldn't be talking like Chad Tracy talks after game. Very positive, kind of keeps, there would be little digs, there would be, right?
When
kinda
things
like
go
these,
bad,
he's like passive aggressive, like little shots at the front office, which Chad Tracy doesn't do any of that.
I do think when they were at their lowest, Cora would have been in a bad state, you know, because he's very sensitive to criticism, not always on the record. But Tracy, I feel like, he's just trying to keep his head above water.
Yeah.
So he was just going day to day. So the
day to day messaging has just been more positive.
Like, let's just keep it going. Let's survive another day. And that's helped them. And I do think, of course, we talked last week, Rich, like, he knows these AAA guys so well. He brought up Tyron Guerrero, who was his closer down there. He knows him front, back, and forwards. He knows Siegler. He played there to start the year. He trusts these guys to a point that I don't think Cora would have. Maybe it's not even his fault, but it's like, if you don't know somebody and know what they could do, you're not going to – I mean, Siegler's been a huge story for them. They got a leadoff guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, now you're stuck with – man, a really strange and hard decision is, you know, do you believe that this team is more like the team you've been seeing the last 3 weeks or the first team? Because you're going to make a very important decision over the next couple of weeks. When is the trade deadline, by the way?
It's August 3rd.
Okay, August 3rd. Okay.
So it's a Monday. So you have 17 games between now and then.
All right. So 17 games, and you've got a very tough Tampa Bay series. You've got, before that trade deadline, you got four versus Tampa Bay, three versus Baltimore, who aren't very good, three versus Toronto, who aren't very good, four versus the Athletics, who aren't very good, and then right before the deadline, the Dodgers. So if you add everything together, it's close to about a little over a 500 record. And to that, I say that seems like a good enough road to be able to figure out exactly who you are. You're barbelling it. You've got good teams on either end.
Currently, you are fourth in the American League in run differential. If you believe in that, just in terms of runs scored.
I'm kind of a believer in that. A lot of people poo-poo that stat, but I kind of I'm a believer in that stat.
Tampa, Chicago White Sox, Yankees are far and away the number one, and then you're four, plus 27. There aren't that many teams that are plus. The only other teams that are positive are Seattle and Detroit, surprisingly.
And they have records over 500.
Well, yeah, every except Detroit, yeah.
Okay.
All right, chances that they get a big bat?
None.
10.
Zero.
5.
5%.
Big bat? Like a big name? Like a huge name?
They get a bat for the middle of the lineup. Like something that they need.
I just don't think they pulled off.
The only thing about I'll say to that is we did have Buster on a couple weeks ago, I guess maybe a month ago, and he said ownership was involved, right? They're making calls.
Yep.
John Henry, true or false, does sort of listen to the fans. He is a little bit reactionary.
Yes. I mean, Cora got fired after the sell the team chant, and I don't think that's a coincidence. He's been so pissed that of course he listens to this stuff. And right now, this has been the worst season for him. And whether he gives a rat's ass or not, I don't know. But I trust the reporting that Buster Olney told us. It was Olney, not Matt Rosenthal, right? Who said that ownership was making calls.
Yep.
If ownership's making calls, then you should take it seriously, the chances of them getting a bat. Especially now. Like, there's more reason for them to get one now than there was when we talked to Rosenthal a couple weeks ago when they were in the toilet. So I'm not
optimistic.
And you're right about Breslow, Rich. You brought up this earlier. It's a good point. Breslow is trying to prove the critics wrong and save his ass. So that's somewhat encouraging. However, it's just not in his nature. Ted's right about this. We have not seen it where in season he's been aggressive for an offensive piece.
So he's also had job security up till this year. And this year, I'm telling you, you see it all the time where guys who are fighting for their jobs try to do something drastic. And this is the one time I actually encourage it. Good. You know what? Prove everyone wrong. Go get a big bat. And then maybe, just maybe, if the players who you have now can stay healthy and continue to play the way that they have been, and you get Garrett Crochet back and maybe even Roman Anthony, now we are talking. You have a actual team that you got to take seriously in the postseason. So go for it. Prove everybody wrong. I want you to be able to put a big middle finger on the forehead of everyone who talks not on you, to said that you need a translator to get anything done in the clubhouse. Great. Let it piss you off.
You think
go all in.
Will Breslow ever dunk the football? You know, will you ever spike it right in front of, like trash talk the media?
Well, he wants to, though.
Yeah.
You know he does.
He did fire Cora. He is vindictive in a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that was more Breslow than ownership.
Oh, yeah. Listen, ownership said as much, pretty much.
I'll tell you what, Catherine Veritek's been awfully quiet.
Where's Catherine? Oh. I haven't heard from Catherine.
Don't call out Catherine.
It's funny. I thought of her too, Rich. I'm not going to lie.
She'll be back. They lose four in a row.
She'll be back. She'll be back. All right. 617-779-7935. We'll take your calls next.
This little Yacht Rocky here.
Big Yacht Rock guy.
This is like the ultimate summer song.
Mm-hmm. I saw them in the summer at a venue that, if you ever get a chance to go see a concert at Red Rocks.
Red Rocks.
Oh, so jealous.
Southern Cross at Red Rocks.
Yep. I saw them there. It was Crosby, Stills and Nash and Fleetwood Mac when I was going to school there in Boulder. Hey, there you go, Rich, your son. You know, you're going to get to see some concerts out there in Red Rocks. You got to go see a concert there, buddy.
We're dropping him off next month, and I was trying to see. There's just no good shows out there at Red Rocks, but like the weekend, the next weekend I'm there, Rufus Du Sol is playing at Boulder, and I was like, I wish I would have gone.
You'll be remote. You'll be standing out there.
Absolutely.
By the way, have you seen on the island, Ted just found on social media, several Red Sox players milling about Nantucket?
Yes. Nantucket is being taken over by some of the players. What did I see?
Who said Siegler?
Siegler was there, and I didn't. Who else was there? TC Chang was there.
Chang.
And then I forget who the other one is. But
Boy.
But while I was looking at that, I also, who were we just talking about before we went to break? Catherine Veritek?
Yep.
Yeah.
Where's she been? Oh, she's 6 hours ago. She responded to a tweet. Someone reached out to Catherine. Have heard from her for a while. Says, hey, at Catherine Veritek, the Sox, in fact, have the smartest guy in the room. And Catherine's response was, I hope they go all the way, win the World Series, and the city can roll out the duck boats.
Awesome.
So, there you go.
You know what? By the way, I am one of these people who love that Catherine Veritek tweets. Like, I anytime you can get a family member who says something that you know it's actually what the family member says, I'm all for that. And Catherine Veritek, she seems like a delight. You keep tweeting all you, Catherine, you keep doing you. But no that is kind of funny that, like, come on, fan. What are you doing? Why are you? You reached out to Catherine Veritek.
Doesn't always work out. Giselle, I think, probably went too much. We got too much Giselle.
Did she? Did she clap back?
Not recently. I'm just talking about back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day she did though.
Not on social media, maybe so much. But you know, just my husband person? Can't throw it and catch it. And, you know, we had a lot of that.
But,
going.
By the way, speaking of Sox players, you know who we're not seeing is like usually this time of year. There's all these sightings of Bill Belichick sunning his man boobs somewhere on the beach.
Dude.
And there's been, it's like he's invisible.
He's
like,
under the hood. He's just hard at work.
The quietest offseason. Is that what he's doing?
Yep.
He's
getting ready, baby.
Getting ready, huh?
It's a slow burn. I told
you. Biggest Belichick fan ever. Oh, my God.
How did you not get him fired by now?
Dude, it's incredible. I can't believe he lasted through that. That bye week that they had last year where they were terrible.
But that first drive, Teddy.
That first drive that was first drive, I was like, right? Oh, here we go, baby. You got MJ and Lawrence Taylor up in the stands going nuts.
It's by this point of the year, like at this point in the summer, you thought you would see some Jordan sightings.
Yep.
You know, Bill Belichick with his Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour sweatshirt like he had a couple years ago.
Well, I heard there was Rich, you could maybe, have you seen, was it, it's Bill, Jordan, and Jason Garrett. They're buddies.
So,
on the island.
Jason Garrett is all like he's great friends apparently with Belichick, and like they're always hanging. As a matter of fact, Garrett was seen I think with Troy Aikman the other day. Like he's down there as well. Yep. So
well, there you go. That's the Sean Payton plan. You get Bill and Garrett to come back out of retirement, and coach the Cowboys.
Dude,
you get your own.
That story is crazy.
Let's talk about that, Ted. Because now that you're here, like this is a strange thing, and it was strange for Sean Payton to even mention this. People are talking and saying things like, "I don't like why would you like the whole thing with the coach of the Seahawks? Like, why would you even say that?" But I'm glad that they did. But as the story goes, Sean Payton just did a book with Seth Wickersham, and in the book, I guess Sean Payton tells a story about how at one point he went to the owner or thought about going to the owner of the Broncos and suggesting that have Bill Belichick come here and coach this team until he gets the, I think it's 15 wins.
15 wins, yep.
In order to beat Don Shula for the all-time record. And Sean Payton said, I would be like the one of the coordinators during that time. And when Bill Belichick ends up beating the record, then I will become the head coach. What a weird thing. Ted, what did
weirdest,
you take on that?
I just, the Sean Payton's just, bro, seriously. I mean, these coaches, it's not the best thing for the team. It's the best thing for your friend. Like, I think he really thought that. They would never do it. Would Bill do it? If this is a real thing, do you think Bill would take him up on that?
Yes,
no.
He would. Yes.
I think you'd do it in a second.
Yes, he would.
Rich.
I think maybe you're right. I mean, maybe you're right because he wants it so bad.
So bad.
But is it insulting? Like on paper,
it's
is
so
it almost
insulting.
An insult? Like, hey, it's a charity case. I'll let you coach this team.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll be here. But you can coach it. But as soon as you're done, I'm going to step on in because you can't get a job on your own. You're going to need my help to do this. It's insulting.
I think it's insulting to the fans and the players that Sean Payton. I just think that's how coaches think. They don't think about, they're thinking about, Sean Payton's thinking about one guy, Bill Belichick, who he idolizes, not the rest of the guys on the team or the fan base. It's just Bill. That's the ego. That's the arrogance. There is rampant in that league.
But it's hard to believe Sean Payton would do that. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach when it's all said and done.
Yeah,
right?
he would never do that. He threw that out there to, you know, so that to win favor with Bill. Like, so, that, which is weird. Like, why do you need to win favor with Bill?
Throw him a bone in the offseason.
Seriously.
It does say to me, though, because I know how close Bill and Sean Payton are, that this record means a lot to Bill.
Oh, it does, Rich. He'll never admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Never admit it, but it does.
But
he
Sean
cares
did
so much
him.
About that stuff.
Yep, Sean just admitted it for him, that this is
that's a good point. You're right.
That means everything. And if you don't think that Bill is hoping and dreaming to come back and coach in the NFL and that he thought this stint with UNC was going to help elevate him and launch him back. Like, wow, look what he's done with these college mm-hmm. kids. Because he probably thought, easy pickings. I'm the best coach of all time. I'm going to go down to this college and I can coach these guys up. I'm the greatest. Everyone will want to play for Bill Belichick.
There you go.
Hey, Bill. Hey,
and then the way it backfired, I can't think of a situation unless this UNC team this year goes on some massive run that the NFL would ever bring him back.
They've given him two hiring cycles to go back, and no team has done it. So there's no way.
Jerry Jones not getting any younger. I'm telling you that he's going to get desperate. They're getting older together. It's going to be one last fling. Jerry and Bill. Going to happen next year. Mark it down.
I mean, Bill be 75 years old.
That's fine.
After this year, I think. No way, man.
Yeah. And also the thing is, too, is that I don't know how stubborn Bill is as far as being able to give up complete control like he had and that apparently he wanted with the Falcons and that scared them away.
Oh,
he wanted to come in, pick the groceries and coach them up, bring his whole entire staff in there. And these teams, they don't like it. And I'll be honest, if you were one of these teams and you saw how he hired Matt Patricia as an offensive coordinator, you would be like, you're on crack if you think we're going to let you handle
Rich,
all of that.
The signs were there at the end of his Patriot tenure. I mean, I think it all started in 2020 when he decided he didn't need Tom Brady anymore. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That was the worst decision. And then 2022 with Matt Patricia, right, being your offensive coordinator, it just the decisions he made were so self-serving and just horrible decisions and not in the best interest of the team. I mean, there's a long kind of amount of evidence there at the end of his tenure here with the Patriots that would tell you he stopped being a really good coach a while ago.
And definitely an executive with all the
no doubt
draft pick misses. I mean, it's stunning to think about how much better they've been since he left.
Yeah.
With their draft.
All his coaches, they all had to be his best friends. Mm-hmm. The quality of coaching went way down because he didn't want to hire anybody that would push him or dispute him. So it was all guys that were yes men. So the coaching staff quality of it went down as well. He just stopped. Dude, he used to work really hard at trying to scout guys and find stuff out about guys, and so his draft picks were really good. And then he stopped doing all that stuff. He had other things he wanted to do. And so, I mean, just it all fell apart at the end. And I don't know how you think that all of a sudden, as he's getting older, he's going to have more energy. And you got to have a lot of energy, man, to do this job at a high level. He doesn't have that energy.
Jordan perks him right up.
Apparently so. Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Patriots, one of the biggest hot takes of the offseason is that a gentleman who was runner-up for MVP this past year isn't good anymore. There is another huge screw. I mean, it's like everyone is jumping on Drake May. And I want to get your take on this because there is another ranking that has Drake May in the toilet when it comes to where he is as a quarterback. I don't know. I just think it's like recency bias. They all they can remember
the
is the Super Bowl. Right? Well, I guess the playoffs. Playoffs weren't great. You're right, in totality. But we'll get your take on that. And take your call, 617-779-7937. We are live from the Catch Us Law Studios. No fee unless you win here on WEEI. It's bittersweet. Is this Ted, too?
Yeah, you know Big Head Todd?
Hell yeah. Surrender. Yeah, good song.
Ted crushes the grunge era.
I love
those mid-90s. That's Ted's wheelhouse.
I'm telling you, man.
Big
you're
Head
Wilson
Todd
Contreras.
The Monsters. Yeah, man.
I don't know this, but I like this. This sounds good.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one. This is like a...
Are they a Boulder band? I feel like they're maybe from Boulder.
Maybe. I know that they're like... this is like what? Like 96 or 7, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit earlier.
Sweet. Yeah, good song. Good song. By the way, it is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. Give us a call, 617-779-7937. Just before we get to this Drake May thing, because we're about to hit that weird couple of days where there's not really any sports. It's like after the All-Star game, and then you got to wait for – although there is the World Cup. If you're looking for a couple of good movies, if you're into action movies, I don't know if you – it's an older movie, but I kind of figured that you guys have seen a ton. Have you ever seen The Raid, Redemption? The movie The Raid?
No.
Okay. Write it down. It's one of the greatest action movies you'll ever see. The Raid, Redemption. It's nonstop. It is nonstop amazing. I think it might be from Korea or Indonesia, but it is...
Subtitled?
I think it is. Okay. Yeah, I think it's subtitled. But it's,
I do
it
closed caption, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there might be 14 lines of dialogue in the whole thing. It's all action, but it's amazing. The Raid, Redemption. And if you're in for, if you want to see something extremely weird, but it's like something you've never seen before, that blew my mind. There is a movie called Border that came out in 2018. It is from Sweden, and I don't mean to scare you away with all these like foreign movies, but do me a favor, if you decide to go down that road, don't read about it at all. Don't read anything about this movie. It's called Border, and it is, oh my God. It's a Stiz movie. Stiz would be all over this.
If even you think it's weird, that's frightening. I mean,
that's such a good point.
Because you live in a weird world.
I do, but it's one of those films that I saw, like, it got like 99% positive or something on Rotten Tomatoes, and all these people are like, you've never seen anything like this. And I'm like, well, son of a bitch, I'm going to watch this. And I sat back, and by the end of it, I'm like, yep, I've never seen anything like this, and it ruled. Border is the name of it. Don't read anything about it if you go to watch it. All right. Drake May is, it's a super hot take. Everyone seems to think that Drake May isn't as good as we saw with our own eyes during the regular season last year. Someone who was good enough to get a second place in the MVP voting. It was really close, right?
Yes, like it was.
Okay.
Very
so,
close.
And then obviously the postseason, not great, but I believe that that's affected most people's views on how he played. And we're all pretty certain that he was injured, correct?
Definitely. Shoulder, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's why it's very perplexing that this poll that just went up on ESPN, and this is another one that was done by league executives, coaches, and scouts, where they tried to rank all these quarterbacks, is so surprising to me. Because you would think those people right there would know better than anybody when someone's hurt, when to not look at the last, you know, the last thing that you saw and have it be a recency bias type of opinion. So, number one, no question, Josh Allen. We all know that. Number two, Patrick Mahomes
Ted. Yeah, too high.
Boy. Yep. Your choice for somebody who has seen his better days behind him. You are not calling for him to fall off a cliff, but you don't think that he is going to ever touch what he did in the past.
No,
that,
those days are done. Just so you know, Drake May won 8 more games than Patrick did last year. Just saying.
By the way, on ESPN, when discussing this today, they were trying to force the Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes is the modern day Brady and Manning, and it just falls flat. It's just, I'm not saying those guys aren't good, and I would agree that they're 1 and 2 right now, but it's not close to me to what Brady and Manning was in the 2000s. Like that was a must see. These two had one epic playoff matchup.
Yeah,
Allen's never won, and Mahomes has fallen off the cliff according to Ted.
They had epic. Peyton and Tom had him every year.
It was every year.
Yeah, every year. So,
Number three, Matthew Stafford. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. Number four, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow gets a lot of love for a guy that hasn't done anything.
It's so true, bro. I mean, he got to the Super Bowl once.
I love him. He's so talented.
I know, but I still think Rich is onto something. I think it's a little bit over the top with his because he's been in the Super Bowl once. And
he's injured a lot.
And he's a pocket quarterback, and he's got two of the best receivers in the league.
That's true, absolutely. Number five, Lamar Jackson.
That's legit.
That's good. That's a good one. Number six, Dak Prescott.
Please.
That's probably the most egregious of all of them.
Too high.
Mm-hmm.
Too high.
No, the next one's the most egregious, but Dak is too high.
You're right. Number seven, they have Justin Herbert ahead of Drake May, of course.
It's stunning. I don't get it. I mean, these are coaches. These are league people. He's never won a playoff game. He crumbles every year. What am I not seeing?
I have no idea. No idea.
He's the most overrated athlete in the 21st century. I don't get this.
Jaylen Brown?
That's Ted's guy.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, way overrated. I don't get it. Now, I do think he's going to have a good year this year because I think Mike McDaniel.
You do like McDaniel.
Went as the offensive coordinator. I think it's going to really help him. But I've just never understood the Justin Herbert love. I don't.
Number eight is Drake May. They say that May's Super Bowl run and near MVP performance elevated him into the elite discussion, though still on the fringes. He appeared on more of 60% of the ballots and earned many fifth-place votes. Hang on, that means 40% of the people that they talked to, almost half, didn't even put him in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. They weren't on national TV a lot, and the playoffs were bad. So I just think you didn't see him that much during the regular season, and then the playoffs come, and he's not having his best performances, that might influence this.
But I mean, enough people saw him to make him almost win the MVP. You know, it's like I don't understand why. I won't use that as an excuse. I just think that there's too many people who are looking at what he did in the Super Bowl and just going, well, that's obviously who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hot take. Everybody seems to think Drake May is not nearly as good as we've been saying he is. And also, I don't know if they're factoring in how they think he's going to be this season, because obviously with A.J. Brown, that should elevate his game. A veteran NFC defensive coach said, he's really talented, but I need to see more. Mm-hmm. Other quarterbacks on this list have proven it over time. How has Justin Herbert proven it?
Mm-hmm.
And he has to keep doing it.
Good point. I do think there is something to the – I mean, Drake does have to do it more than 1 year.
Yeah.
So that's somewhat fair. I mean, we saw Mac Jones have one playoff season, and then he was never starting caliber after that. So I get that sentiment. It's not like disrespect this list, Rich, but it's not like – you know, obviously, there are some people that are on the fence, and it appears that's it. It's too small of a sample size.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, where was he on that all, like the entire NFL? He was like number 61 or something like that.
Oh,
Drake
yeah,
May.
On the, yeah. On the
which is 100. Insane, which is insane, because, once again, he was the runner-up for MVP,
mm-hmm, yeah.
And they had him on as number 61 on the list, which is just truly absurd. But you know what? Ted, you've said it best. I mean, bulletin board material is something that motivates a team.
Adam, you know what? This is going to be a coming-out party. The offensive weapons that he has is definitely a big-time improvement. And he's just going to get better and better. I mean, he's going to do things. This kid is going to do things that people are going to be like, I've never seen a quarterback do what he did. He's that special. He just hasn't been doing it long enough for a lot of people to see it. But they're going to see it this year. They have a lot more nationally televised games. It's gonna be a coming out party for Drake May this year.
He's 23 too.
I know.
That's the other thing. You just got to remember, dude's 23 years old, mm-hmm. and Dak Prescott, what is he like, 34 or something, 32? Like,
yeah. And, you know, like, we know what second year is. in the same offense. Like, dude, please, like, now he's gonna know where to go with the football before the ball snapped, like Tom did for the last 15 years of his career, which is scary to think about. It's he's gonna be a supercomputer to go along with his athleticism. Please, Drake May. Oh, my gosh.
I'm curious to see where A.J. Brown is when the wide receiver list comes out from Fowler, from his poll, because there aren't many positions listed that are out yet that have Patriots in the top 10. Christian Gonzalez is the third best corner. Milton Williams was the ninth best defensive tackle, and that's it so far, other than Drake here at number 8. So
probably pretty accurate.
Will A.J. Brown be top 10?
It's going to be close.
Fringe, right
there.
Fringe,
yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fringe.
So
yeah, it'll be close.
That's not that encouraging. I think their roster is better than you do, Ted, because I know you feel like they're kind of an average roster. I feel like they have a bunch of above average guys, but this is proving it. Not a whole lot of top 10 mm-hmm. guys at a lot of spots,
especially on defense.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this real quick, Ted? Because I know a couple people from Chicago, and like for some reason, as much as we've seen Caleb Williams, you know, play, and he's done some amazing things, especially in the postseason last year, they don't believe in him. Like, for some reason, they're smelling that this is kind of a mm-hmm. a sun shining on someone's ass. You know, it's like all of a sudden, like they don't believe that he can continue like any kind of growth. What do you think about Caleb Williams?
I agree.
Do you think he's fraudulent?
I'm not a believer in him. Just part
really?
Of it is just his mental makeup. I don't trust the guy to get it, like really truly get it and be a pro's pro, and do what you got to do to be kind of the face of a franchise. I think a lot. Look, he's kind of got a little bit of that. You know, he plays terrible for 3.5 quarters, and all of a sudden he has a play or two where he pulls out of his ass, and he, you know, they come back in dramatic fashion and win games. That's not sustainable. That's not a formula for, you know, consistent success. So I'm not a believer in him, man. I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's got the curse working against him, right? Isn't he on Madden this year?
Yeah, he is.
Is he the cover of Madden?
Yep.
You know, he's going to be one of those guys like OBJ who's going to get a lot more credit than they're worth because he's got a signature play. Like OBJ obviously had the backwards catch, and then, you know, now you've got the jump pass from Caleb Williams that all the kids are trying now, and I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to sell a lot of jerseys that might not live up to the hype because he's, you know, victim of his own cool play mm-hmm. that ended up going viral, but we shall see. All right, well, we got to talk one more time about these Red Sox because there continues to be a lot of chatter as to whether or not they should buy or they should sell. On top of that, Wilson Contreras is going to be in the Home Run Derby this evening, one that the world does not want you to see for free. You're going to have to pay and get Netflix, which I think is right now one of the worst streamers. I don't think that there's anything good on Netflix right now that you can't get anywhere else. I've already watched all of I Think You Should Leave, so and I was never a Stranger Things guy, so They got nothing for me, so I'm going to have to resubscribe tonight for
what
one night.
What about that Avatar series? Ted loves the Avatar series. No?
There's an Avatar
series? Avatar-related?
There's a few great docs on there, though, Rich, that you recent. That one's called Maternal Instinct, crazy, and then there's another one called The Crash.
Crash, that's insane.
Insane okay. stories.
All right. Well,
yeah, I watched The Crash. It's good.
With my 1 month subscription that I'm going to have to buy today to watch the Home Run Derby, I'll try to bust those out. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be back in 2 minutes.